Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of Gym Class All-Stars. All of you told me that we would be done before 25 episodes, but look where we are now. We're on episode 25. We are almost halfway through a year of good old All-Star-iness. Yeah, of course, that wasn't cringe at all. We are back, though. We are excited. Football may be ending, but all of these other sports that we all know and love, like basketball, baseball, there's probably some volleyball news that I'm missing, have all started to pick up the pace, and we are thrilled to bring you the news. Robbie, in 60 seconds. No, I'm kidding. Well, let's start the news, though.
Start the news. Yeah, no, let's do it. Let's start with the NBA professional basketball. As we know, All-Star voting has begun. Somebody who may start warranting some first-time All-Star nods, that would be Raptors point guard Fred VanVleet, who dropped a career-high 54 points earlier this week on a career-high 11 three-pointers, which was good for the all-time record, not just for a Raptors player, but for any undrafted player in the history of the NBA. Fred VanVleet has the Raptors on the turnaround. They were back in the playoff picture in the East, and this set the bar, highest scoring game of the season so far. What do you make of VanVleet and the Raptors' quick turnaround here?
I've talked so negatively about them because I really did think, you know, last year was a fluke, but I thought losing Kawhi would really put them on a downturn, and Siakam really emerged last year. Kyle Lowry, VanVleet picked up the slack. This year, though, they struggled, and, you know, we've seen it. But now they're hitting their stride, and it's kind of a matter of consistency. You know, I talk about it all the time with teams. I don't know how consistent they're going to be. Right now, they are on that consistent stretch. I mean, we'll get to a little bit more about the Nets-Raptors, but, like, they won last night. Siakam had 30. Lowry had 30. Things like that. Like, they're really starting to pick up steam. It's kind of like the people like Aaron Baines, Alex Len, some of their new offseason pieces. Losing Ibaka definitely hurts them. So I think they're still feeling it out, but I'm very much looking forward to it. Now, I'd like to throw you a hypothetical. Fred VanVleet is listed probably at 6 foot, maybe a little bit smaller than that. But I've always thought about this, and I'm sure you have too. Like, I'm 6'2". You're what, 5'9", 5'8"?
On a good day.
Yeah, sure. Well, you're actually 5 foot. Let's
poof the hair up.
But, like, you and I have played basketball for a while. Who is one NBA player that you think you could not hold your own with, but, like, have you'd want to play one-on-one if it was life or death? I always think of someone shorter than me. But the problem is, a guy like VanVleet would torch me pretty fast. Same with, like, Isaiah Thomas. So I think I'm going with Klay Thompson on Achilles injury. I think that's my choice.
Yeah, no, that's a solid one, with the man really only being able to stand in one spot, not even jump.
I think he'd beat me, but
I think I'm going to take Shaq in the three-point shootout. I think that's how it's going to go.
That'd be an interesting battle. He does have one more made three-pointer than you do in the NBA, so I guess he's got the slight advantage.
Oh, man. Well, not that we're necessarily close to breaking any NBA records, but again, just a shout-out, Fred VanVleet. He warrants the conversation of could he take on a gym class all-star
100%
category. But speaking of teams either on the rise or falling off that we talked about last week, Miami Heat have some serious issues that they have to deal with this year. First of all, Avery Bradley's now out for 3 to 4 weeks. Goran Dragic won't be playing tomorrow against the Knicks, which is really bad because they had just made the decision to put Hero on the bench and start Dragic, which worked as we obliterated the Wizards, you know, a team we lost to before, also lost to the Hornets and barely skid by the Kings in Jimmy's first game back. I'm very biased on this team. I see the success we could have, which is kind of blinding me from a lot of the problems that we're having. So I want to ask your outside opinion. What seems to be the main concern for Miami at this point?
Well, like I tweeted at you about when you guys beat the Kings by a singular point at home and you raved about how the Heat were back. It was the Kings, first and foremost. The big thing with you guys is consistency. You know, you have injuries, you have COVID tracing. All that has really hindered you. I'm not going to say last year was a fluke. You guys really have a great team. And I have had the experience of having Jimmy Butler in the playoffs, and that man does wonders for any team. He makes them a million times better. So my thought process is, it's regular season. You're not playing well. because of just, I think, the way everything is. If you guys can make it in the playoffs, you're definitely a scary low seed. Like, if you go up against like a 2 or 3 seed, like, they're not going to want to play the Heat. The Heat are a matchup nightmare when it comes to the playoffs. But in terms of now, I just think people who are hot, like Tyler Herro in the bubble was very hot. Duncan Robinson really provides stuff. I'm not going to say Jake Crowder was your saving grace in the bubble, but I mean, losing him definitely is a bit of a hindrance. So I think it's a mix of regression, slight regression. I'm just saying in terms of people popping off and then like not consistently doing that. Like, it happens all the time in the NBA. So I'd say give it some time. Maybe like Eric Spoelstra is a good enough coach where he will figure something out. The Heat will make the playoffs. I can assure you that they've always been making the playoffs, even when LeBron left, other than one singular year. So it's not time to push the panic button yet, but I think we're seeing the Heat, what everyone kind of had this lens upon them like before the bubble. And that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, the loss of Jay Crowder, maybe not necessarily like a franchise changing move, but clearly some kind of cultural shift happened there. He was starting almost every playoff game for us. You mentioned the consistency, which you're absolutely right. The guys like Duncan and Herro, who provided so much of that in the playoff run, have not been as consistent this year. To me, the biggest concern, though, is on the glass. We are the second worst rebounding team in the NBA. We do not have a player averaging double-digit rebounds, and there's constantly games where Bam has more assists than he has rebounds, which sounds awesome, but is kind of terrifying sometimes, because when your only center, your only true center, is playing and getting 6 rebounds a game, you're going to have an issue. The thing is, Bam, I believe, is the guy that should be playing the center position, the middle of the court, middle of the offense. So you need to find a power forward that can both shoot and rebound, and that has always been a rarity in the NBA. And even more so, who's going to trade a team that is one clear and obvious piece away from turning it around, the exact piece they need? It just, you know, it's a tough thing to just acquire out of nowhere, even if you have Pat Riley.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like I said, I still think guys are making the playoffs. I'd find very hard pressed to like want to play the Heat. Like, they're still a scary team, but right now, yeah, it's a lot of consistency. There's just been a lot of stuff happening with them. So
yeah, I will say also on my Twitter comments, I obviously stand by everything I said, but yeah, you're right. The Heat has some struggles that I may or may not be acknowledging at all times.
I would like to make a comment though about your Twitter. You've been popping off as of late with likes. Usually I see your rants or your tweets like getting no likes or just nothing. But if, like, I look today, there are something like 5 likes, like 3 likes. I'm like, is our little Robbie, is he becoming Twitter famous? Have we finally hit that peak?
Every once in a while, I make some comedical tweets.
It's the podcast tweets. Is now going to turn into, it's instead of Gym Class All-Stars, it's like Robbie and Friend. And then,
I tell you, the Robcast wasn't just going away. So
this entire thing has been a coup to just get me out of being a co-star in this podcast. I knew it the entire time.
God, okay. I was not prepared for the plans to be fully laid out at this point, but we will proceed as follows. No, I'm moving forward here. More for the NBA. Brooklyn Nets. We're going to be talking a lot about them after the acquisition of Harden forming that big three. We got to talk about Kevin Durant here for a minute. So last night, Kevin Durant was ruled out because someone he was in contact with had a inconclusive test, so he was ruled out. Then at some point in the game, he was ruled eligible to play. So he went in, played about 19 minutes, and then all of a sudden they said he was not allowed to play, and now he's potentially it's going to be out for a few games. He's not traveling to Philadelphia for the game, the upcoming game. And also now maybe even facing a suspension for aggressive tweets at the NBA. What happened? What is the NBA? I mean, to me, this feels like they wanted their star player to play and then really couldn't do it and really messed up.
This is what I hate about this COVID thing. It's so inconsistent. Like, okay, this guy, it's not like the NFL where in the NBA, dare I say, every game does not matter. I know, right? Terrible sports fan. But like in the NFL, every game matters because it's a short season. So like when the Broncos had their contract chasing and like lost all their quarterbacks, granted, didn't matter in the end, but like that's a whole game where you're missing someone and that could really make an impact. COVID is dangerous. We've talked about it for many months. That's partially why this podcast exists, because, you know, we can't go outside, really. Well, you can. I'm having a hard time because PA is a little bit different than Iowa. Anyway, though, the problem is maybe he was in contact with someone with COVID. You have an inconclusive test. Worst comes to worst, just like tell him not to play. Like, once you know, okay, fine. Then they keep testing it during the game, and finally they're like, okay, it's inconclusive, or it's negative, so you can go back in. What baffles me is they tested it a third time and it's like, oh, this is positive, we have to stop. First and foremost, how do you go from negative to positive with the same test? That baffles me just from a scientific perspective. But then even then, like, okay, it's one game. Like, Kevin Durant may be a little bit pissed he can't play, but okay, so what? That's it. It's one game.
Yeah, at the end of the day, if he only has to miss like a game or two because of this, like, it's not the end of the world. My issue really comes with like the fact that they let him play. Like, if there was an inconclusive test to start, that feels like the NBA should just play the safe card and not let him play that game. But also, they let him play and then drew him out because the guy, you know, the contacted person delivered a positive test. Durant was then in close contact with all of his teammates, all of the other teammates that he played against. I don't know why the game wasn't just called off at that point. It feels inconsistent. It feels like if Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot had been this player, he would have been completely ruled out for the entire game.
100%.
That's big all we're asking for, NBA. It's a little consistency. I know the Nets, though, however, are a team that consistency seems to elude, as they are currently the best, most efficient offensive team of all time and the second least efficient defensive team of all time. Not having Kevin Durant won't help either of those things, but that's where the Nets are at right now. So it's a fun situation for them.
I like it. They're playing the Sixers soon, so without Kevin Durant, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, no, that's
dare I say,
Philly cruising right now, top of the Eastern Conference, playing very well. Got to talk about LaMelo Ball here for a second. Had a career high 34 points in the loss to Utah. 4 fouls, but 0 turnovers. Pretty impressive from the young guy. Is he the Rookie of the Year favorite right now?
Without a doubt, yeah. Like, Wiseman will probably be useful in the long run. Anthony Edwards really hasn't – like, he's okay. Like, LaMelo Ball showed up, and I think now is consistently starting. Or I know he was originally only starting because of an injury. So, to me – if you're dropping 34 points, and he's been doing, like, not dropping that much, but been very consistent and playing at a high level. Granted, the Hornets suck, and that's kind of their problem, but very promising. And, you know, my lock of the year, LaMelo Ball, Rookie of the Year, because I think all of these other rookies are kind of bums, other than Tyrese Maxey. And Precious is aight. Just going to banter with you a little bit.
I appreciate that. I'll mention one other name. Tyrese Halliburton, as much as I hate those Iowa State guys, he's been balling out recently. He just had, a career high 21. It was 5 threes. Very impressive from him so far. But yeah, I mean, LaMelo, despite the fact that it's been inconsistent with the minutes and the turnovers, but he seems to be the most useful. He may not be the most NBA ready, but he's clearly the one making the largest impact on his team so far. I mean, Wiseman isn't playing right now. He's injured. And Anthony Edwards is shooting under 40% from the field. So I agree, but at the end of the day, I think this is just the result of a pretty lackluster rookie class.
Potentially. I could, like we talked about many times, I could see one of the rookies sort of being, you know, a slow developer, like, and kind of just blossoming out of nowhere after the fact.
Yeah. Well, obviously time will tell for that one. Either way, rookies going to have to start picking it up. Not really going to be a rookie second half of the season. You got to start playing like a vet. Speaking of vets, the All-Star game, as we've mentioned, has been announced. It's going to be on the 7th of March. However, there is a lot of growing – I don't want to word this. There's a lot of players in the league that do not want the All-Star game to happen. Colin Sexton came out and said he didn't think it was a good idea. Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Giannis have now all stepped up and said they don't really think it's a smart idea. What do you think the NBA should do here? Because to the general fan, the All-Star game is watched, but more so just because you can see fun offense. But at the end of the day, we're in a pandemic, and it is a completely and utterly unnecessary event to host.
Yeah, as the selfish sports fan, I would say, yeah, I'd love to see more basketball. I mean, you and I obviously love the All-Star game. And then on top of that, you have 3-point shootout dunk contest. You have the skills challenges too. I mean, but it's All-Star weekend is a fun time. No one can debate that. The problem is, yeah, you're bringing a bunch of people into a confined space. If they, there's ways they can be safe about it. The problem is, it takes one person to have COVID, and there's just, it's a not a pandemic, but it's pandemonium there. And that could delay the season, which, they're already on a tight schedule now. So if the NBA has debate, and especially if superstars are coming out saying, I don't want to play in it, I'd probably just do like, okay, announce your all-stars. Maybe if you get vaccinated, you can do it like at the end of the season, kind of like the NFL awards, where you do like, then all-star games, I think it's kind of past that, but you could do like a dunk contest, 3-point shootout, stuff like that. I think there's a time and a place for it, and right now it's kind of tough, even with the vaccine being rolled out.
Yeah, no, I like the also the option of having the star players defer and letting lower caliber players in also just takes away from the idea because like the All-Star game in the NBA is different than the Pro Bowl in the sense that it's not that players are trying harder, but there's less people on the roster, so the talent is usually a little more exclusive. Like you're getting all of the top tier talent. Pretty much all of the second tier talent and whatever bit of that next tier that kind of trickles in the last few spots. But if you start letting players defer, I mean, a world's so sweet where Aaron Baines makes the All-Star game sounds fantastic, but at the end of the
Does
day, it's not what every fan wants to see.
it probably, except for like five people, it's probably what no one wants to see, and we're two of them.
yeah, no, I think the idea of naming the teams is great. But actually going there, playing, trying to coordinate all that. I mean, these guys already hate having to travel based off the COVID restrictions anyway. Why schedule an unnecessary trip? But definitely give the rosters. That's always fun. It's fun to vote. It's fun to root for your favorite players. But yeah, that's where we're at for the NBA. Still a little more basketball here. College basketball is getting in like absurd. Lots of top 10 teams are losing. Unfortunately, that does include my Iowa Hawkeyes, who have now, I believe, dropped two in a row, including one recently to Ohio State, giving them, I think it's their fifth loss on the year. We're going to talk about who we think are the true contenders in a second here, but is it starting to unsew a little bit? Were we wrong about the Iowa Hawkeyes?
I refuse to be wrong, Robert. I will never be wrong in my life.
Never.
I don't know. I like it is it sounds so cliche to say, but like with everything going on, I just don't know how to base anything. And that's kind of everyone's issue. There's a lack of consistency. That's the word of the day, everyone. Consistency. We have none of it currently. And like we talked about pre-show, Garza is a great player, should win the Wooden Award. Hopefully, our other boy at Illinois doesn't take the best center, but who knows, the Jabbar Award. I am still on the Hawkeye bandwagon. We are Garza guys.
We are.
I think our boy Fran McCaffrey, who both have ties to, one being Lehigh, other being Iowa, just kind of has to work through the roster. You'd mentioned, seems like four point guards, one big man, which is Garza. That offense, if you have good guards, it can work, but I don't think Iowa has the firepower at the guard position. They have Garza, who's an absolute gem, but some of their other players, they can hold their own, but it's not like, oh wow, these guys are incredible. They're not like Cade Cunningham, or they're not superstars. They're serviceable and can beat teams, but like when it comes time for whether it's the Big 12 tour, or sorry, Big 10 tournament, or March Madness, you're going to really need to step it up. And, I'm like a little concerned, but with the way everything's going, anything can happen. Even maybe actually not Lehigh. Lehigh will probably not win March Madness. If that happens, I will get a hawk or a Mountain Hawk tattoo on my face. You've heard it here first.
We pray for that
We
moment where
don't. We
Lehigh doesn't
don't.
just beat Duke but beats everybody, and Alex here has to put a Lehigh logo on his face. That's spectacular. Yeah, Iowa. The issue is that you have to guard forwards at some point, and we don't have players on the court that can guard forwards. We've started to start Keegan Murray, who is completely useless for us to start because he's smaller than Luka Garza and can't shoot the basketball. He's awesome. He's a great bench piece and a shot of energy when he comes into the game, but he's not somebody you want starting and playing 25 minutes. We don't really have a forward worth playing. So I think the best course of action would actually be to replace Connor McCaffrey with his younger brother, Patrick McCaffrey. Patrick McCaffrey is the only real forward that can shoot that we have on the roster. He hasn't been great yet. He hasn't really adjusted to college basketball. But I think if you give him the time in the system, you let him kind of develop more as a big man than a guard, it's going to work out so much better in the long run because we have two centers and basically everybody else who plays is guards except for Keegan Murray. That's not enough. There are enough big guys in college basketball that will dominate the glass. You can double team Luka Garza on the boards. And when he's out, we don't really have a rebounder in the game. With four guards, three guards on the court at the same time, it's kind of a recipe for disaster when your one superstar is off the court. So I think Fran's got to, tinker with the lineup a little bit. He's got some time. You know, we're falling down in the Big Ten standings, but we're still going to be high up in the overall standings. It's all right. We get most of these teams a second time still, which always helps. We haven't even touched our games against Michigan yet. But you got some work to do. Got a little bit of tinkering here.
Well, I guess.
Speaking of Michigan, though, they are one of my true contenders. They are killing it. One loss, tough loss, but one loss. They might be the third seed in the nation as Villanova also picked up a loss this week. So I want to ask you, who are your top tier contenders, getting towards the halfway point of the season? Well, not quite halfway.
But. I would say like Gonzaga, obviously. I think we're still going to give Baylor the benefit of the doubt. I'm biased and will say Iowa. I'm rooting for you. I will not say Lehigh because I honestly have not followed anything. And then I'm torn on Michigan. Granted, like they're playing well this year, but it seems like they're better in tournaments when they're just kind of okay. Like when they That's went to true. The national championship and they had that run, like they were a reasonably good seed. I don't know if it was a two or three, but still like kind of underrated and then just took off. This year, a lot more eyes on them, obviously, because they're winning and doing in spectacular fashion. So they're obviously a threat. I'm not sold on them for just, past issues.
It's valid. The year they lost to Louisville, I believe they were a 4 seed. The year they lost to Villanova, I think they were either a 2 or 3 seed. So you're right. But whenever they're that top seed, there's always that added pressure to the number one seeds because you're expected not to lose. And I think that gets to some teams. Michigan definitely not exempt from that. I will say 3 undefeated teams left in college basketball, the number 1 overall seed Gonzaga, the number 2 overall seed Baylor, and the number 25 overall seed the Drake Bulldogs, also 8-0 undefeated. Could potentially be in play for a 1 seed if they stay undefeated. Who knows? That'd be kind of fun, like a Wichita State team. I was looking it up. No real notable NBA players that have ever went to Drake, but either way, still kind of cool. That's where college basketball is at right now, guys. 10, teams have played a varying amount of games just because of COVID. Some of the bigger schools are getting canceled, but it's going to all even out by tournament time. Don't you worry. Lots of baseball news to get to. Like we've already stated, the free agency is in full swing here, pun intended. I'm going to start, though, with the big one. A man who is very famous for signing one-and-done deals signs a 2-year deal that will make him the highest-paid player in the 2021 season. That is Cy Young winner Trevor Bauer signing with the World Series champion LA Dodgers.
Oh, boy.
Just we'll talk about the contract in a second here, but how scary are the Dodgers even more so than last year?
Yeah, they managed to have their egregiously high payroll. Like, they skyrocketed even more. They're paying Trevor Bauer. We'll talk about that in a sec, how much money they're paying him. They've already have a scary core, and they lost a few pieces. But it's terrifying. I don't want to play them.
Nope.
Their rotation's 5 people deep if David Price is there and decent.
Imagine the first 3 games of a playoff matchup going up against Clayton Kershaw, followed by Corey Kluber, or excuse me, followed by Trevor Bauer, followed by Walker Buehler.
I was about to say, if they have Corey Kluber, I'm like, I'm quitting the season. He's in the Yankees. So.
No, but a terrifying list there. Just to like really set in how much money he's making, the the $40 million that Bauer is going to be making next year is more than the entire payrolls of either the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Baltimore Orioles, or the Cleveland baseball team.
Cleveland baseball team. That makes me giggle. Yeah.
Just to set that thought in, but geez, we're going to talk about some contenders in baseball here in a sec, but obviously the Dodgers are going to be topping that list, especially after that Hail Mary of a signing to just completely obliterate any other team's pitching rotation. Going to run through a couple other notable moves and signings here. Carlos Correa is going to re-sign with the Astros on a one-year $11.7 million deal, a little under $2 million. Marcelo Ozuna says he likes it down in Atlanta. He's going to re-sign four-year $64 million deal to stay with the Braves. Unfortunate because he's really good and we hate the Braves here. Jonathan Scope going to stay in Detroit for one more year. Milwaukee signed Colton Wong, so he's going to play second base, and they're going to shift Keston Hira over to first. Hira, somebody that got called up recently and earned his keep in the MLB very quickly, so the fact that they're shifting him around clearly means that they like him and they want to keep him in their rotation, which is fantastic for him. And then the Angels trading for Dexter Fowler, the veteran outfielder, trying really, really hard to prove that they can get Mike Trout to a real playoff run. I don't really know how much Dexter Fowler adds at this point, but he's a vet. He's been there for a while. He's been to the World Series before. So it's something. It's a move. Our Phillies haven't done a whole lot yet, but other than Bauer, what are these signings really stand out to you?
Bauer. That's it. Yeah. I mean, Ozuna signing with the Braves is obviously a good signing for them. Keeps their core intact. Correa to the Astros again. Like, that's – all of these signings or re-signings are all positive impacts to their team. So I don't really have any say in it. I mean, the Trevor Bauer one, I know it's going to be beaten over the head with how big of a move it is, but like, you take an already great team, World Series champion, and then sign a Cy Young pitcher on top of that. Like, oh yeah. My goodness.
It's horrifying. We were just, you know, bantering back and forth a little bit before this, and that was as acknowledging that Walker Buehler just became the third best pitcher in a pitching rotation. That, to any baseball fan, has to sound terrifying.
I will say, though, there's the off chance, you know, Trevor Bauer had a bet with his friend that if he didn't sign a one-year deal, he had to get shot in the balls with a paintball gun. So, like, you know, maybe that happens and it's like a freak accident and you just can't pitch anymore because, you know, the balls are clearly connected to your pitching arm.
It's definitely so, who possible knows? I'm gonna give him the new moniker of Squeaky. For anybody who doesn't know, in our first rec basketball game together senior year, we were playing in this overtime game, and I got hit in the nuts as their best Squeaky player committed a technical foul and got ejected from the game, and I'm just kind of keeled over. But let you know, none of us were good free throw shooters, so I'm starting to walk down the court, and I kind of had this idea that I'm gonna be the one called on to shoot the free throw, but my coach just goes, "Let's go, Squeaky," and I was heated.
Yeah, so that was my flu game because I was sick for that entire game and played probably 43 minutes of the entire game. And then Robbie, you know, lost his manhood for probably about 2 minutes, but made the free throws and got a scumbag ejected, which I know it's rec basketball, but he's a dick. So
he was a dick.
He was.
Certified dick.
Certified.
All right. But yeah, so hopefully Trevor Bauer can take some of the shame away from me on that one. Either way, the MLB, like we said, there's a lot of awesome moves happening right now as we get closer and closer. I don't remember the exact date, but they have named when pitchers and catchers are going to report, and the season is scheduled to start on schedule this year, so no delays because of COVID. Their preseason going to start progressing as regularly scheduled. Now, I have to ask, is there an important event happening tomorrow? It's like a Sunday night. It's kind of a sports game.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, it is a Bucks home game. Am I correct?
Technically, no. Technically, they're the away team.
Shoot.
But okay. Lo and behold, Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing at home in the Super Bowl tomorrow night. Mahomes versus Brady. It's been talked about all week. It's the all-time GOAT versus what could very well be the up-and-comer, the guy who has the best chance to surpass Brady at some point, trying to win back-to-back Super Bowls for the first time in his young career. You know, a lot of talk about how the Chiefs are the better looking team going in, but you really can't understate the impact Brady has, the impact someone like Gronk's going to have, and the impact that the unexpected home field advantage does actually bring. You know, the fans may not all be for the Bucks, but as the comfort level of being in your own stadium, knowing the field that much better than the other team, Scott, the only question that matters, who's going to win?
I believe the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah, that's a pretty fair statement.
It's just like, okay, Tom Brady and the Bucks have been on a great run, beating the Saints, Packers. I mean, they beat the Washington football team. Take that for what it's worth. Definitely. Who cares? They have played 3 away games. Are they deserving a home Super Bowl? I feel like no team is necessarily deserving of a home Super Bowl, if I'm being frankly completely honest. Like, I didn't like the idea of the Vikings a few years ago having a home Super Bowl. Shout out my Philadelphia Eagles for ruining that. But, like, it's going to be interesting because it's not a full capacity stadium. There'd be a 25,000 to 35,000 people, 25,000 healthcare workers, some press, some media, and then obviously the players. I just think the Bucks have a scary good defense. The Chiefs have a very high-powered offense. I think the Chiefs' offense is almost too high-powered, and we kind of saw what happened, like, even with Aaron Rodgers going up against them. Like, that defense is exploitable and breakable. Now, the defensive side. The Chiefs' defense has been critically panned by a lot of people. I seem like the only person in the world who's like, they're kind of scary. Everyone's like, nah, they suck because of insert regular season game here. They just have so much talent. And one thing in my illustrious football watching career that I've noticed is Tom Brady under pressure. I don't mean like time pressure. I mean like people trying to sack him and get it to him. He's not very good. And we saw it in the NFC Championship game. I think if the Chiefs can put pressure on him, he is going to just collapse and falter. So maybe on Monday, if he does that, we're going to hear all the Tom Brady fell off a cliff theories, even though he's 43 and still in a Super Bowl. But I just think the Chiefs offense is going to outshoot the Bucks offense in any capacity. And I think the Chiefs defense is going to be serviceable enough where Tom Brady won't have a field day. Those are my opinions.
No, I think it's very fair. I think there's a difference between like the offense defense differential of the Chiefs and like the Seahawks, because the Seahawks have like an all-time bad defense. The Chiefs just have like not the best, but by no means a bottom half defense. They have a solid defense. They can do it. And like you said, Brady does struggle under physical pressure when the pocket's collapsing, because he's not a very mobile quarterback. He's not going to break a lot of tackles. He's got to get the ball out of there. He does sometimes struggle with that. He threw 3 touchdowns, he threw 3 interceptions in the NFC Championship game.
You know, it's wild though. The Chiefs were basically a pick 6 away from this game being like a chance for an undefeated season, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, really.
They have one loss. They lost by a score to the Raiders, and it took them going for it on 4th down and like getting that 1-yard gain to win it, which to me like just shows how even when the Chiefs are down, they're scary and can do a lot. So
it also took the Raiders putting up 40 points.
That exactly. So
like there's, you know, we talk about the Nets, their inability to play defense, but they're so able offensively that it doesn't really matter. They're still winning basketball games. It's almost the same idea with the Chiefs. It's not like I said, it's not like they have a bad defense, but it's not like they have a great defense, but their offense is so hard to stop no matter how good the opposing defense is that you almost no matter what have to put up a sensational amount of points to be in the game against them. But, you know, we saw the 49ers make some mistakes last year in the Super Bowl. We'll see what the Bucks can do to try and take down Patty Mahomes. But that high-octane matchup, now just one day away, Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow, we'll have the coverage of it next week, of course.
Before we move on, we got to talk about 2 other NFL stories. Actually 3, technically. They're all quarterback-related. The Jared Goff-Matthew Stafford trade. That's first and foremost. Lions, Rams did a blockbuster trade. Goff and 2 first-round picks to the Lions in exchange for Matthew Stafford. In my opinion, this makes the Rams look like a legitimate NFC West, like, not a lock, but like, as long as Matthew Stafford stays healthy, I think they're winning the division no problem. Goff's inconsistencies are just really what hurt them this past year. But I also think the Lions, between the draft picks, they get a young quarterback. I don't think that's bad for either team.
No, I think to say that the Lions like landslide won the trade would be a little ridiculous because
sure.
Jared Goff's a decent quarterback. The inconsistencies, as you say, are a main concern, but they got three draft picks. They're saying for your words on the Rams just now, like they're going to be that much consistently better because they have the more consistent veteran quarterback is absolutely correct. They more than likely are going to win that division. Their defense is as good as it has been. And their offense now is going to start clicking a little better. You know, Cup's going to be a year better. Woods is initiated, and they're going to really have starting to develop Cam Akers as the lead back. That offense is going to start functioning better. The biggest question fans had, though, was, is the difference between Matt Stafford and Jared Goff three draft picks?
Maybe. Most people would say no. In fact, when I put out a poll on Twitter, people overwhelmingly said the Lions. So I don't know if that's Lions Twitter just coming after us for even suggesting the Rams could win this trade. But I don't know. I don't mind it for either side because I think the problem in LA was Jared Goff, and Sean McVay knew it and was like, I need to get another quarterback, even though he was like number one overall pick. Matthew Stafford wanted out. You give Goff a new change of scenery. You give Stafford a great team for once. I think it's everyone kind of benefited from it. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lions do. And I don't know. I have no gripes with the Rams. So I'm excited for both teams, to be honest.
No, it's a move for the future for both teams. I'll say this, though. Three picks and a young quarterback for Matt Stafford. The value on Deshaun Watson is going to be at an all-time high when he gets moved.
So, yeah, that's my next point. I was honestly had a half heart attack yesterday because I was doing some work. I was on Zoom, and one of the kids in my group goes, oh, my goodness, Deshaun Watson got traded to the Patriots. And I, like, fell back in my seat, was just – I'm like, no, this can't be happening. It turned out to be fake, which is good. I was, like, on the verge of just freaking out. But that's – going back, Deshaun Watson has not been traded yet. It's kind of started to heat up. He's opened up and expanded his list of teams. One that kind of came up was the Las Vegas Raiders, potentially trading Derek Carr. And the other name, like, they potentially want Waller, maybe a pick. It's a little bit interesting. I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know if he wants to go to Vegas. I guess, do you have any updates on that? I don't really have much other than it's heating up. I think he'll get out of Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like at this point he's going to leave Houston. Oakland, it seems like they've at least made the due diligence of initiating some kind of trade talk for Carr, I assume a pick or two in exchange for Watson. I don't think anything's progressed too far yet. I think the Texans are going to be very careful to make sure if they do trade Watson, they get absolutely every last penny he's worth, especially after seeing how much, you know, Matt Stafford was traded for. It's very clear that Deshaun Watson is a top-tier talent with a very bright future in the NFL, and whatever team is going to get him has to accept that they're going to be giving up a massive, you know, James Harden-like haul for him.
The final one. So that's about it for that. We'll let you know if it changes. All right, so, like, we thought the Eagles were done messing around, hurting me physically. They brought in new coaches. They brought all the Colts staff in. And now apparently Carson Wentz is being shopped around. The Eagles won't accept anything less than a first-round pick for him. Fine. But apparently teams are making pretty good offers for him. Chicago Bears being one. I think the Raiders were another. Oh, my goodness. How am I going to get hurt this year?
So many ways. You're an Eagles fan. I know. That's how it works.
And then I guess more turmoil. The NFC East allegedly – Emmitt Smith came out and said Dak Prescott isn't necessarily the lock for the Cowboys quarterback next year. That's interesting too, because wow, you guys sucked without him.
The NFL offseason hasn't even really started, and it is blowing up already. It's fantastic. Storylines out the wazoo. One more quarterback you got to mention. Drew Brees may be very close to retirement at this point, as he has reduced his salary from the, I think it was $41 million he was going to make, down to the veterans minimum. That is usually a move made when you are going to retire a year before your contract ends. We'll see what happens. Maybe he's just restructuring so the Saints can make some offseason moves to bring in pieces, because they were relatively close to the Super Bowl. So maybe it's that. Maybe Drew Brees is making one last sacrifice for this organization. But either way, you know, a standout first ballot Hall of Fame career for that man, no matter what he decides to do. That all the quarterbacks.
I think so. I heard little rumblings that Andrew Luck may want to return, but I can't confirm or deny any of that. So
that'd be fun.
It'd be interesting. I don't know. Like, the guy definitely seems like football was something he was good at, and was, I think he realized that it wasn't a passion. It was like something he liked to do, but it kind of just got to him between the injuries, and, you know, I'm sure it takes a toll on you mentally as well. So wish him all the best of luck. If he comes back, I'm looking forward to it, because the Colts are really a quarterback away from being like a legitimate scary team.
You know, we'll see what move they make. Right now they still have Jacoby Brissett on roster, but like we've said, they want to get that veteran under center for them. So we'll see what moves get made. You know, the offseason is going to really kick into gear after the Super Bowl, but obviously the first priority is tune into that Super Bowl, 5:30 Central Time, 6:30 Eastern Time tomorrow.
Should we make our bet about it? Should we make our bet about it? Like, who do you think's going to win?
We should make a bet about it, yeah. One last thing before we move on here. Alex and I are going to place a bet on the spread of the game tomorrow here. Want to run them down, what the spread is, how we're going to do this here.
Yeah, so the spread is 3.5, Chiefs minus 3.5. I'm going to say the Chiefs cover that. So if they do that, they can still win the Super Bowl. But if it's by anything less than 3 points, Robbie takes my money, and we don't like that.
That's it. I've learned it's very difficult to bet against Tom Brady, so we're just going to steer into the skid here, for lack of a better term.
All right, well, good luck. And I hope that if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, maybe it puts an end to COVID, because COVID kind of started after Mahomes won his first. So
This is true. Maybe Patty Mahomes was the mastermind behind
conspiracy theory.
All right, so we're going to do a new segment here. So for anyone who watches Inside the NBA, one of my all-time favorite segments on that show is who he play for, when Ernie Smith asks Charles Barkley some random players of who they play for. So I decided to adopt this game a little bit here, as we are going to do a Trust the Process edition of who he play for. So I have compiled a list of 6 names of players who played for the Philadelphia 76ers in the years of basically 2012 to 2018, where they were just completely overhaul, rebuilding their roster, new team every year, 28 different starting lineups a season, the good stuff.
I would like to note as a disclaimer, this is story time with Alex. In 2012, I did like the Sixers. However, when you start losing a ton of games, usually your fans kind of go, I don't want to watch these games because they kind of suck. And that was kind of how I did. Also, like, a bigger football fan than I am basketball, despite the fact my knowledge for it is just incredible. Obviously, I'm going to ace this trivia quiz. With that being said, though, what got me back into the Sixers was Robbie a few years ago. Robbie and his dad took me to a Sixers game. Also, his brother was there. And I watched Joel Embiid take it to the Hornets. And I watched him block Cody Zeller into oblivion. And I was hooked, and I've been a Sixers fan ever since. Definitely know all of the players since then. However, we're going to see if my memory can serve me right and my random NBA knowledge is going to be useful. So, Robbie, take it away so I can be embarrassed in front of all of our fans.
We love it. I got some fun names. I got some names most people know. I got some random ones that nobody but me is going to know.
Oh,
exciting
boy.
Stuff. We're going to start easy. You're going to progressively get harder. So I'm going to start you, Alex, Thaddeus Young, who he played for.
Okay, I always get him and Tyreke Evans mixed up, and my first thought was he's out of the league, but Tyreke Evans is the one who's suspended. I'm going to say, I know he played for the Kings. I think he plays for the Pacers.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
That is incorrect, no. Sir. Thaddeus Young is a member of the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, he is. You're right, because he's with Jabari Park. Oh, that's such a mess. All right, that's 0 for 1. We're doing great.
0 for 1. All right, great. No, we can keep this up, though. All right, so whew. James Ennis, who he play for?
Oh, he was in the Sixers for a bit. Okay, all right, wait.
He's actually the most recent player on the list. He was on in a playoff run with the Sixers.
I know, and he was our sixth, seventh best player when we had Butler and Harris together. Yeah. Oh, boy. We traded him to the Magic. I think he plays for the – oh, boy. He played for the Rockets at one point. I think he got traded there. Oh, this hurts. I'm going to say the Magic, but I don't think that's right. I think it's someone else.
You are correct. James Adams is a member of the Magic. He was I think he was actually a Heat before the Sixers, then the Magic, then the Rockets, then back to the Magic.
Okay. All right. I knew he played for the Rockets at some point. My entire, like, my intelligence and my thoughts and feelings just went out the window because I got super insecure about Thad Young being on the Bulls. So here we are.
No, that's a good one. All right. So you're one for two here. Not bad and awful.
I'll take it.
Okay. This is the name you'll definitely know. The team will see. Jahlil Okafor, who he play for?
Pelicans, final answer.
No.
He got traded again? Detroit no. Pistons. Oh, Pistons. It's the Pistons.
Yep. He is the backup center in Detroit.
Ah, all right. That's still one for three.
Dude, it's a good guess. Jahlil played for the Pelicans last year.
Dude, the Pelicans were like, we're so invested in this man. He's going to be great. Oh, I'm upset.
That's all right. Got three more names here trying to avenge yourself. It's gonna start getting harder though here. So
Jesus, all right.
Jakar Sampson, who he played for.
What's that? I don't know what that is. Okay, all right. Let's think here. Jakar Sampson. Okay. This strikes me as like I'm feeling either the Heat, because you're a little schmuck about things like that. Or I'm going to say Kings final answer.
He did play for the Kings at one point, but that is incorrect. He is a member of the Indiana Pacers.
Okay. You know what? Irrelevant. I don't care.
He was playing some backup center minutes in the bubble last year in the playoffs, probably partially why they got swept in the first round by Miami.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well,
bring out the big guns. Got two more names here, and I would love if you're able to get these. One is actually the most recently signed player in the NBA, well, at least for this team. You know, he was signed to this team this year, so his name came up. Tim Frazier, who he played for.
That just strikes me as a Knicks player. That's like my first thought. I don't think it's the Knicks, though. I'm going to say the Nets.
Nets is incorrect. Is the Memphis Grizzlies. Sorry, man. You know, there's plenty of names here to do this segment again, but I do have one more that if you get this, I will forever claim you as the superior sports knowledge. This is the most random Sixer I can possibly think of. In 2013, this man started the season on 2 10-day contracts for the Sixers, did not get signed after that, but he played as part of the process. Baker, Malik Wayans, who he played for.
I want to scream into this mic. This segment is like, people probably think I just am an idiot. Okay, Malik Wayans. Okay, I want a hint for this one. East or West?
Well, to be honest, he doesn't play in the NBA.
Oh, I was too smart for you, clearly. I'm shocked that Malik Wayans is not in the NBA anymore.
I don't actually believe he was in the NBA after those 2 10-day contracts with the Sixers.
Wow. You almost got me. Luckily, my inability to answer questions prior to this led to me asking a question for once.
Well, would you like to know who he played for?
Does he play for someone, or did he play for someone?
Well, he currently plays for the Mahram Tehran Basketball Club of the Iranian Basketball Super League.
If I got that, you'd either say I'm the smartest individual alive or that I'm a filthy cheater. So I'm kind of glad I avoided that one.
I wanted to bring that up. Malik Wayans is just this random player that I love for whatever reason. And the Iranian Basketball Super League, I want to bring into the light, as these are the top tier Belarusian basketball players playing in this league. Fantastic stuff. Either way, I hope everybody enjoyed the first segment of Who We Play For Trust the Process Edition. We may be back, or maybe Alex will get me on some knowledge I should know and don't. But you know, either way, you got one, so you can at least give yourself a little pat on the back.
I wish I knew more about the NHL, because I would start listing off like reasonably good NHL players and be like, yo, who you play for, and just like you panicking.
Yeah, no, I try and come up with some Russian name that may or may not be an NHL player, and we'd go from there.
Before we get to superlatives, though, remember Nikola Mirotic?
I do.
Well, he's dead.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. But
Steve, you're killing me.
But Nikola Mirotic is not dead, for anyone listening. I just wanted to see if I could get Robbie, and I punked him pretty bad. No, but like, remember when he was such a hot commodity because he was like a stretch forward who could shoot?
Yeah, but he couldn't really shoot. He shot, like, at best 37%.
It's okay. It's better than me, to be honest.
He couldn't rebound, which became the biggest issue. And also, just, like, that position has turned into the stretch five more than the stretch four.
But the thing is, like, he was, like, the avatar to a ton of teams. They just vanished. He's in, like, Turkey now playing, like, EuroLeague. So, shout out Nikola Mirotic. He's definitely still alive as far as I'm concerned. Hopefully he doesn't die, or else this episode has aged horribly. It's been 50 minutes.
Yeah. So hopefully he's alive and well.
Fingers crossed. Knocking on wood.
Before we jinx anything too much worse, we are going to start with our MVPs of the week. Alex, who stood out to you as the best player from this past week?
Oof. You know, as maybe cliche as it is, I got to give it up to my sub-6-foot boy, Fred VanVleet. Definitely a short king in the NBA. Dude, first of all, the total embodiment of a gym class all-star, I believe having 0 stars or at best 2 stars in recruitment, going to Wichita State, going undrafted, and then, you know, making a name for himself, securing the bag this offseason, and then, you know, dropping a career high. Like, everything's going well for him. Just had his second kid too. So, like, hey, good on him, and we're all happy for him. Total gym class all-star.
Yes, sir. NBA champion, now the Raptors franchise leader in a single game scoring effort. Shout out Fred VanVleet. My MVP is going to be Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. Not only has he led the Sixers to the best record in the Eastern Conference, but he is torching players. There is this enormous debate going on of who the best center in the league is, and Joel Embiid is doing everything he can to put his name at the top of that list. Putting up monster numbers, 30-plus a night, 11-plus rebounds. The heart and soul of this Sixers team, he has clearly solidified himself as the best player and premier big man in the Eastern Conference. I expect a lot of things from the Sixers team and a lot of things from Joel Embiid, but he is very clearly starting to deliver in every way. So I had to shout out him as this week's MVP. Moving down the list, the most disappointing. It really hurts me to have just propped up your team and have to go straight to disappointing, but I am disappointed in my Miami Heat. They have not been playing the brand of basketball that I had become accustomed to. The culture has shifted a little bit. I think once Dragic comes back, we need to insert him back into the starting lineup over here. I think Kendrick Nunn needs to have a solidified role in the offense, and I think we need to make some kind of move for a rebounding shooting four if it's possible. But, it, you know, 9-14 – is not acceptable from the former Eastern Conference champions who just took 2 games from LeBron James in the NBA Finals. Very disappointed in my Heat. Alex, who disappointed you?
Good old Jose Canseco disappointed me, Robbie. For those who are listening, Barstool Sports, they do their own kind of shoot boxing pay-per-view called Rough and Rowdy, and they've been hyping this up for months. Jose Canseco, disgraced former MLB player, big steroid guy, small ball guy, was going to fight their intern, Billy Football. And, you know, Jose Canseco is a big dude. I mean, he's literally juiced. And, I mean, he's 270. It's very disappointing because I thought their intern would win, and I was right. The match lasted a solid 5 seconds with Billy going after Jose Canseco, him, like, kind of taking a dive, and then him claiming his shoulder was, like, ripped. And yeah, it's pretty disappointing because he was talking a lot of smack about Barstool and just like how he's gonna win, and I don't know if it was like intentionally he just took a dive or whatever, but I'm kind of disappointed. I kind of wanted to see Jose's face get bashed in. It really wasn't. It was a letdown because, you know, you want to see him get beat up.
Jose Canseco's whole career seems to have been a letdown, unfortunately. Good disappointing one there. The bad boy of the week. Man, a fan favorite here. Alex, who was a bad boy this week in sports?
This one is so funny. That's like, all right. My bad boy of the week is Alfred Payton. For any of you, first of all, Alfred Payton is a name I was hoping you'd throw on that list because he's like a random Knicks player that I was like, oh, yeah, I know who that is. So, yeah, Alfred Payton's in the Knicks. Knicks are looking decent this year, right? Better than the bottom basement team we all thought they'd be. And he plays and he's like, he's very much okay. Not great. Not terrible, but also not really that good. And as much as we love burner accounts here, well, during the Knicks game, someone was talking shit about Alfred Payton and some random account clapped back. But people became smart enough to realize that the account was only typing when Alfred Payton wasn't in the game. So they called him out and said, why don't you tweet during the game? And the excuse was, oh, my boss, like, doesn't let me do stuff. The work schedule's real. It was some garbage excuse. So I think Alfred Payton has a burner account. And Alfred Payton, you've been a bad boy if you have. If not, well, then play better because you're kind of just a bad boy from play style.
I might be a bad basketball player. But, yeah, no. That's help me doing that, man. No burner accounts. Come on. Put your name on your work. My bad boy of the week actually is not going to go out to a human being. So there was a dog that ran onto the field in the Serbian soccer match, soccer friendly, and was running around chasing the ball, was actually given a red card by the official, but just interrupted the game there. You know, come on, got to have some better trained dogs. Dogs being a bad boy. Got to, you know, keep them in check there in the games. But just thought that was kind of more of a funny bad boy of the week this week. Didn't really find much else, but Alfred Payton's a pretty good one there. The moment of the week for me was actually your MVP was Fred VanVleet's 54-point performance. The 11 threes alone, a notable number, but then the franchise record, the undrafted player record, the undrafted three-pointers record, standout performance, standout moment for that man. He, especially in the season where the Raptors had a lot of question marks, they were struggling, put a little life into him. Important game for both VanVleet and the Raptors. So he's got my moment of the week.
My moment of the week is a little bit outside of sports, but something very impactful. They announced that NCAA football is coming back after a very long 7-year hiatus.
Yes, they did. Which,
did you grow up with NCAA football?
Of course I did, man.
Of course I did as well. I will say, you know, I played it when Madden really wasn't polished. And the best thing about that game was you could lateral. That was something I always wanted to do in Madden, but couldn't. I'd run out of time. Being able to lateral in that game just created so much pandemonium and so much fun. Yeah, I'm very happy it's back. This is also a good step for college athletes being paid. If you haven't heard our debate about that, that's a super early episode. Definitely check that out because it was still holds true because unfortunately college athletes can't be paid yet. We're still working on that. But I'm super pumped about it. The only person who seems to not be is Joe Burrow because he really wanted to be in the cover and we don't know if he'll actually be on it. But I'm happy. I'm really happy. I'll probably play it at some point.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome one. Maybe we'll even put out a poll for you guys to say who you think should be on the first NCAA back cover back. Maybe the Heisman Trophy winner, maybe a former quarterback, who knows. We'll see. Awesome moment for everybody. Yeah, fantastic game coming back. One last superlative here, that would be the return of the king. I actually have the return of the kings. That would be the two returning Super Bowl quarterbacks, Tom Brady returning for his 7th time and Patrick Mahomes returning for a back-to-back appearance. I don't think I've talked ill about either of these players very much, but these Kings are back on their pedestals. They are the two quarterbacks left. We're going to have one hell of a game tomorrow night. Shout out to those two guys leading their spectacular franchises and well off on their spectacular careers.
My return of the King is someone who probably a few weeks ago I gave a lot of grief to. But Kelly Oubre Jr., did not start the season off hot by any means, but I watched him drop 40 points against the Luka Doncic Mavs. The Mavs are a dumpster fire. That's a different story that we will probably get to come closer to playoffs. But like Kelly Oubre has showed up, is definitely playing a little better, playing more of a slasher rather than just a pure like Klay Thompson fill in, which that's not how he plays. So the Warriors look very good. And Kelly Oubre kind of showing us why the Warriors went out and got him, which is good. So I don't know. You deserve it, Kelly.
Yeah, that 40-point game is nothing to shy up on. Fantastic achievement for him. Warriors, I believe, the 7th seed in the Western Conference right now. A lot of basketball left, a lot of baseball to come, one more football game, whole lot of sports still coming. We're going to report on all the big stuff as always. But for now, hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And as always, we'll be back next week, past 25 episodes. Let's go.
Yeah, we'll be at our 6-month anniversary, Robbie. We can hold hands together.
Cute stuff.
All right. Take care, everyone.